You're listening to the Rockford Symphony Orchestra podcast, where we look to inform about our upcoming events and give insight to behind-the-scenes happenings at the RSO.
Hello, everyone. This is Javier. I am the Marketing and Engagement Manager here. And today I'm sitting down with Kevin Stites, our new Principal Pops Conductor, to talk about the first Pops concert of the 25-26 season, Broadway and Beyond, happening on October 18th. At 7:30 p.m. in the Coronado Theater, featuring a very special soloist, Ben Crawford. So hi, Kevin. How are you?
I am good, Javier. How are you?
Good, good. Thanks for coming in and talking with us.
Happy to be here.
So as I mentioned, you are our new Principal Pops Conductor, right? And this performance, the Pops 1 performance, is kind of special because it's technically your first official concert in that position. So you've done a lot of guest conducting with us in the past. What is it now? Three, four
maybe
performances?
Maybe four, if you count Christian Chenin with five.
Oh, yeah. There you go. Yeah, so you're no stranger, of course. How is that role different? What is coming in different being now the Principal Pops Conductor versus just coming in as a guest conductor?
Well, I tell you, a lot of it feels the same because you all, meaning everybody in the office here, the administrative, and all the people that work here, made me feel so welcome and part of the family in the beginning, sort of as a continuation of the same. And the fact that I'm from down the street in Pecatonica, or I've moved back down the street, I feel sort of local and was made to feel part of it, you know, from the get-go when I did that first John Williams concert. And even back several years ago when Kristen Chenoweth did the fundraiser here, I was able to come in and conduct for Kristen. But the difference is that instead of feeling like part of the family, I believe I am part of the family. And there is a little a different feeling of confidence and being accepted as a, for good or bad, I'm around, you know, sort of situation. And I love talking to and working with Yaniv as making sure our concerts sort of jive. Mm-hmm. And, you know, one doesn't take away from the other. And in this world, they actually can. I mean, Masterwork seems to be so different. But an example is he's programmed two dance episodes from Rodeo on your last Masterworks concert.
Yeah.
And I have done at two July 3rd concerts, I have done Movement 1 and Movement 4. Of those dance episodes. So it's a good thing we talk.
Yeah.
So it's not too much, you know, it's not too much of the same thing. So it's really a lovely feeling to be more officially part of the family.
Yeah, that's great. And you bring up something interesting, just really that fine line of what is Masterworks, what is Pops. It's not always so black and white, is it?
No, and I'd like to blur the line even more.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, Pops doesn't, it shouldn't be just sort of sight-readable, light music. You know, pop music is stuff that has infiltrated the popular culture, mm-hmm. you know. So there could be a Pops evening of Appalachian Spring and the Grand Canyon Suite and those kind of things. I'd even thought about doing a tone poem evening that would be Pops material, but it's Pops symphonic material. You know, you could do an Americana tone poem evening of Grand Canyon Suite, as the aforementioned, or some the Rodeo thing, which now we can't do.
Yeah.
But we could do another of the Copland pieces, or Appalachian Spring, or an American in Paris, which I would love to do with the orchestra. You know, these are Pops symphonic pieces, not just songs.
Yeah.
You know, pop songs. It's not just that.
Yeah. And like you said, I think having you now on board as an official part of the artistic team, you're able to collaborate really well with Yaniv and think about those ideas and what's happening there, where the line's being blurred.
Right.
Yeah.
And he is great. I mean, he is so quick. I shouldn't say quick, and I know it's not easy to sit down and at his desk and go, here is the RSO season. That's hard. Mm-hmm. You know, and I don't know if the listeners understand that this stuff has to be done a year in advance.
Yeah, we're already planning for next season.
Yeah. I mean, and I'm have a little more grace in as at least for Holiday Pops, I just did it 2 weeks ago. Not just did I've been working on it for a while, but turned in a draft of it 2 weeks ago. Well, it's 6 months before. It's just the way things work. And for Yaniv, because his pieces involve much bigger forces and quite often soloists, it's a budgetary thing. And I know from working with this symphony, and I'm doing a little work with the Savannah Philharmonic, budgets are sewn up a year in advance. People don't understand that. And once a budget is done, I think you know this, but I don't know if our listeners do, that it's hard to crack open a budget once it's been approved.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You can't say, oh, you know what? We're going to add this, so we need another $25,000. It's almost impossible to happen. So you have to – I'm very much impressed with his organization. I can see his programs and then what will complement it and what will not detract from it. And even the chamber concerts, it's good to see them. I mean, I was happy that there is a filmic chamber concert that's before the Spring Pops concert that is going to be Academy Award-winning film scores. It's almost like we planned it.
Exactly.
So the chamber concert leads perfectly into the next Pops concert. But we have to be very careful that it's not just a bigger version of the same thing.
Yeah. But that way the whole season becomes really well put together. Everything makes sense.
Right.
And
right.
Like we said again, those lines really are blurred of what's happening where.
Exactly. Exactly.
Great. Well, yeah, that's great to hear. And yeah, we're very glad to have you a part of the family now.
I'm very happy to be here, especially – I really am hometown, you know, but not a kid, but I certainly as a kid came to hear the RSO. I heard Crawford Gates conduct the Tchaik Piano Concerto with Van Cliburn, of all things. And I don't think I'll ever forget it, you know, sang with the RSO, I guess it was called the RSO Chorale at the time. It was way back in the dark ages when I was in high school. And they did a mass choir, the Scriabin Tone of Fire. And I remember, you know, standing way at the back of the stage at the Coronado singing that. So it's such an honor and thrill still after all these concerts to be leading one.
Mm-hmm. Very cool. All right. Well, let's switch over and talk about our special guest, because I think we really want to highlight him and talk about him.
Absolutely.
Because he's a big deal.
He is a big deal. He is a big deal, yeah.
So, yeah, tell us about Ben.
Well, Ben Crawford is, I think he's, I'm looking here just to make sure I get this right. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 Broadway shows.
Wow.
Of which he has been not an ensemble person, but a principal. The last Broadway show he did, he played this little role of the Phantom in The Phantom of the Opera. Andrew Lloyd Webber's. And he was the final Phantom after 30 years of Phantoms.
Yeah.
He was the final one. But, you know, he was Mr. Salt in Charlie and the Chocolate Factory on the 20th Century with Kristen, which I did. I conducted that with him, worked with him on that. He covered the role of Bruce Granite, which is and went on several times. The Kevin Klein role from the original production. But anyway, he was in Big Fish featured, and he took over the role of Shrek from Brian D'Arcy James. Brian did the first year of Shrek, and then Ben did the second year as Shrek in Shrek. Mm-hmm. And in Les Mis, I put him into that show, and he was an ensemble with two covers. He was covering Javert and he was covering Jean Valjean, the two big leads.
Yeah.
Well, we were having an issue with the new hire that was playing Javert, and Ben went on right away after he went into the show in his ensemble track. He went on as Javert for more performances than the person that was salaried to play the part due to a vocal thing that was going on. And Ben has also done a lot of symphony work. And as a soloist, he worked with me at the Grant Park Symphony downtown for a salute to Lerner and Lowe. And I think we did two together downtown. But he's also done Indianapolis Symphony, Naples, Baltimore, Cleveland, National Arts Center in Canada, Edmonton, Seattle. He's done a lot of symphony.
Been all
work.
Over.
Yeah, yeah. He now lives in Arizona. Because his kids are there. So he moved there to be closer to his kids post-COVID. Mm-hmm, a lot of actors sort of fled New York and they go back for work as opposed to to living there. I mean, I'm somebody who fled New York during COVID, and I have no intention of going back. Like it here. So, but yeah, he goes back, and when he gets some work, but he coaches and teaches, and then when a Broadway job comes along, he goes back. But he's doing this, I don't want to say as a favor to me, but we go way back. Way back.
Yeah, it sounds like it. Yeah. How did you meet Ben then?
Ben, we were back to Les Miserables, the 2006 revival on Broadway. It was the first time it had been revived. We had been open for a year, and it was time. A number of people were leaving the ensemble, like five people were leaving the ensemble. And so we needed a big old bass baritone who could cover Jean Valjean. Mm. And Javert. And he walked in the room and opened his mouth. We'd never seen him before. He was sort of new to town from Arizona. He hails from Arizona. Okay. And the singing was just, what's going on? He's really great, you know. And he's striking. He's, you know, he's handsome and dark hair and everything, at least back then. I haven't seen him for a couple years. Maybe it's not as dark as it used to be. I don't know. But he opened his mouth, and it was just spectacular. And so he, you know, went through the rounds of auditions. Mm-hmm. And it ends up coming down to, let's hear him sing Javert material. Let's hear him sing the Jean Valjean material. Can he cover those roles? And he sang it beautifully. I think we may have given him his Actors Union card, his Actors Equity card. And I was really a proponent of putting him in the show. Mm-hmm. And we became good friends. You know, I hate to say it, but I really like working with talented, smart people. You know what I mean? You don't always get the smart part, or you get really smart and maybe you wish they sang a little better, but he's a combination of both. And he does his homework more than anybody I know. I've done, in addition to the Grant Park concerts, there is a concert called Do You Hear the People Sing, which is the music of Claude-Michel Schoenberg and Alain Bombleil, which is all the Les Mis stuff, Miss Saigon stuff, all the material they've written. Mm-hmm. He's done a number of those concerts. And because he's a consummate musician, he can sight read, he can sight sing, which is not always the same thing. He knows music theater. He played trombone. He is such a music director's dream because you don't have to sit and pound out the notes or pound out the rhythms. And he comes sort of ready to go, you know. Yeah. And so it's just refreshing because he's truly a musician who can act through the music.
Very cool. Excited to hear him then.
Well, it's an interesting voice too because The program, I think we'll probably get to, is so varied because he can he's got a pop side to his voice that is smooth and they can make it a little rocky, and then he'll sit back and can go to the standard legit music theater of the Golden Age material, you know, and his program reflects that. It's all over the place. It's not exactly all Broadway. That's why it says there's the and beyond. It's called Broadway and beyond. But the program is really, really varied, and his voice can do that. Not a lot of people can. Mm-hmm. You know,
stuck in their one.
Yeah, if you get singer A, which I will not name a name, you get what singer A does, and it's probably an evening of all the same kind of things. This is not the case with this concert. And, I mean, we go everywhere from a Gershwin tune to a song from Dear Evan Hansen to a song from Hamilton. And they will all be done successfully. It won't be like, he maybe shouldn't have done that. There won't be any of that. Won't be any of that.
Yeah, so that's a perfect segue. Let's talk a little bit about the program and what people can expect to hear. Because I know like you mentioned, in his bio, he states, you know, one of the most versatile singers on Broadway. So talk us through some of that.
Well, you're going to get everything you'd want to hear. Because the things I mentioned that he's done, Shrek and Les Mis and Phantom, we're going to get all that. You're going to hear Big, Bright, Beautiful World from Shrek. And then followed by Tonight at 8 from She Loves Me, which is a whole nother ball game. And then he's got some great arrangements of some rather pop tunes, like Let's Face the Music and Dance, which is from an Irving Berlin film, Follow the Fleet. But it's a chart that's very Michael Bublé, so it'll kick butt a little bit, in that, if I can say that. But then New York State of Mind by Billy Joel. He's totally adept at that. He'll give us a little Stars from Les Mis, Waving Through a Window from Dear Evan Hansen. And then I believe the first act is going to end with one of the greatest golden age pieces for a baritone ever. He's going to do the complete soliloquy from Carousel, which is, you know, Billy Bigelow's big, you know, figure it out moment. But it's a 7-minute marathon sing. You know, he's doing, you know, a couple, another Michael Bublé arrangement of Cry Me a River, Foggy Day, the Gershwin tune. And then Ben is very, very funny and very charming. And he's going to give us a little King George. You'll Be Back from Hamilton. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, three songs from South Pacific in a medley, because his voice can go to there. And then, because he was the final Phantom, he's got to do a Music of the Night. He's got to do a Music of the Night. And then a Stephen Sondheim song. He'll end the concert with Being Alive from Company. You can't – I mean, it's all over the place in the greatest possible way. Mm-hmm. So for any listener out there, if you're thinking, oh, it's going to be just Rodgers and Hammerstein and Cole Porter and that because he's a big old baritone, nothing could be further from the truth. Mm-hmm. You're getting everything here. And some of it is with a smaller rhythm section. Then the entire orchestra comes in. It's a very, very varied evening. And by the way, tricky. You know, it's not easy for symphonic orchestras to sit down and play some of this stuff. They don't. For those that don't play in orchestra show pits a lot, it's not so easy. And I should mention the great RSO. We thought that there should be an overture at the front of some sort, and so I daringly chose the orchestra will open the concert with the overture to Candide. Because there's not a better Broadway overture written. It's also hard as heck, but it's so exciting and so fun, and it'll be a great, fun way to kick off the concert and give the RSO a moment to shine all in and of itself and not just be an accompanying, you know, body. So I'm really excited about it.
Yeah, a huge variety.
Huge variety. Yeah.
And I think that's great because, like you said, any person who has any interest in Broadway, whether that's, like you said, back in the golden era or if you're new to musicals and really enjoy that, some of the newer stuff that's coming out that they're making into movies like Dear Evan Hansen, you know, you're going to get a little bit of all of that.
Right. I mean, the only thing he's not doing is a Galinda or an Alphaba song from Wicked, because I don't think we want to see that, you know. There are no Wicked songs, but other than that, and I'm happy to come from New York and back here, and I made my living there doing Broadway, so I'm really happy that this is, I would like to think, a little bit of my element as well.
Oh, absolutely. You know, yeah, that was kind of the other aspect to this. I know when we were programming it, we're like, what can Kevin kick his title here as a pops conductor? Well, what better way to do that than with Broadway?
Than
what
a Broadway night. Yeah.
Well, he knows like the back of his hand.
I was fortunate enough to, in the 25 years I lived there, to have worked on 13 Broadway musicals. So I feel very grateful. And it will be fun for me. Most of these pieces, I'm looking at the list right now because, of course, I'm cheating with the list. But I think I've conducted about 6 of the shows represented in some way or another, 6 or 7. And there's a comfort in that. And I don't want to say this to sound cocky at all, but there's a confidence knowing that I know, A, what he's going to do because we're such good friends, and B, I do know the style. I think I know the style.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. So, you know. And Ben and I go way back to that production of Les Miserables in 2006, which is, oh my God, it's nearly 20 years ago.
Yeah,
wow. I can't believe I've known him almost 20 years. But we became very, very good friends. And there was, to be honest, there was another idea I had for this concert cycle that fell through. I hope to revisit it, but it a piece that I was sort of the linchpin of the entire evening became unavailable. And I thought, oh, what to do? I don't know. And Ben had, because he played Shrek on Broadway, he had done a phone Zoom with my daughter who teaches middle school. They were doing Shrek Jr.
Oh, wow.
And so he Zoomed with the kids.
That's so cool.
And talked to them about the experience. And I thought, wait a minute. Ben does concert work. Ben does these things. Why don't I see if he wants to, you know, had he done, I didn't know if he had done a Broadway evening, and he did with the Indianapolis Symphony and later Naples. So this is sort of a revisit of that concert that he had put together with them, with a couple inclusions, suggestions of mine.
Yeah.
So
that's great.
It's like a combo platter.
It really will be all like an old friend then. He's done a lot of this work before. With, like you said, Indianapolis, you've conducted some of these shows on Broadway. You and Ben know each other so well. It really will be just this coming together of things that are known and this friendship that I think is going to make it a really wonderful evening.
Absolutely. And whether it should be mentioned or not, we became such good friends that he was my roommate in New York for a while.
Really?
I didn't just hire my roommate. Let's not do that. Because I've hired him for other concerts, as I said, Grant Park and the Do You Hear the People Sing across the country. But no, we hit it off, and he lived in a second bedroom of a New York apartment for a couple of years.
Wow.
And yeah. But really, folks, if you want some classy fun, because Ben's incapable of not being fun. He is so much fun. A fun evening, you got to come see this Broadway and Beyond. I really think it's going to be fun. Great. Yeah. I really think it's going to be good.
Yeah. And it's going to be a great way to kick off the pop season, our 25-26 season.
Yeah.
With now at the helm, Kevin Stites, the principal conductor. So yes, definitely check it out. That's October 18th at 7:30 p.m. in the Coronado Theater. And you can visit rockfordsymphony.com for tickets or for more information. I know the program's going to be up there, some more insight into Ben, a little bit of his bio, so you can find out some more about that. Well, thank you so much, Kevin, for sitting down. This is awesome.
Thank you, Javier. It's always fun.